The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
And be a part of that. That is wonderful. Take your Bible, please, and go back, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 29, where the Bible does say, "For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And I want to speak tonight on discontinued. Why is it that Christians quit? What are some of the reasons that Christians quit? Why is it that some people start off and they start off on the right track and then all of a sudden they start to get off? I'm reminded of many years ago, it was Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. had citywide revivals, and he was known for his citywide revivals, but then he got discouraged towards the end of his ministry, and he battled behind the closed doors with alcohol. Now, why was that? Well, he got discouraged. And because of that, there was a discontinuation. Now, may I say that it is important that you and I understand that we can discontinue. There was some great men of God that preached in a sword conference many years ago, and I watched these men as one man got up and he apologized that he was in opposition to Catholicism, and then another man got up later and he decided that he was just going to walk away from that which was a truth that had been preached for many years about the blood of Christ. And I watched different ones that just decided to lay down the plow. Now, can I tell you, more than those that lay down the plow and more than those that decide to discontinue, there are many that decide to go forth. There are many that decide to stand for Christ. When I look at our church and I see that there are teachers that are faithful to God, and there are preachers that are faithful to God, and there are Sunday school teachers and bus captains that are faithful to God, I'm reminded forevermore that you do not have to lay down and roll over and die. You know, our church is just, we have a lot of young people. Matter of fact, we got young couples getting married all the time. I mean, it's like, wow, we got another marriage here and another marriage here. Then Connor, right, just proposed to Savannah, and Savannah said yes.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and so now they're coming in the office, and they're going to try and find a place to get married within the next 2 weeks. And so, you know, I'm just kidding, okay? But I'm just kidding, all right? But I'm saying this, that we have a lot of couples, and God has given us a young church. God has given us a vibrant church. God has given us a church, if you will, please, that I believe is going to last for that which is generations to come. I believe that our church, because we stand for truth and we preach the truth and we train people in the truth, that this church has a bright future. We're not just a church that's on the corner. We're a soul-winning church. It's a lighthouse. And because of that, I believe that we got a great future. But here's what I don't want tonight. What I don't want is for you to get tripped up. What I don't want is for you to throw in the towel. What I don't want is for you to have a legacy that could have been but turned out to be not. I would like for you to be able to continue in the faith. I'd like for you to be able to continue to be able to structurally serve Jesus Christ and to be able to go forward and do a great job of it. Now, how is it that people, if I may say, gets tripped up? What causes people to discontinue? What causes people to throw in the towel? What causes people to get discouraged, and then all of a sudden the Christian FBI cannot even begin to find them? How is that true? Well, let me give you some statements to think about. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 10, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 10, the Bible says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved," listen to it now, "this present world." Why is it that somebody would be faithful to Sunday school and then later on not? Why is it that somebody would be faithful to work on the bus route, then all of a sudden not? Why is it that some would be faithful to go out soul winning and have a soul winning ministry, but then not? Why is it that some would be excited about the Bible, excited about the teaching of the Word of God, excited about that which is the preaching of the Bible, but then not? Why is that? Let me give you some reasons tonight. Statement number one, because of the world. because of the world. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 10, the Bible says again, says, for Demas having, it says, for Demas hath forsaken me. Now, why hath he forsaken Paul? The Bible says, having loved this present world. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 16, the Bible says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. When you talk about the lust of the flesh tonight, what is that? That's a consuming desire to do. The lust of the flesh. A consuming desire to do. When you talk about the lust of the eyes tonight, what is that? That's the consuming desire to have. The consuming desire to have. When you talk about the lust, or if you talk about the pride of life, what is that tonight? That is the consuming desire to be. They want to be someone. They want a position. All right? All right? So we understand that Eve had the same type of temptations, yea, in her life, and so did Adam. But you see that Eve saw that the fruit was good to be able to give that which is wisdom or insight, or was able to give that which she did not know, but she wanted to be able to have. Now, can I tell you tonight, it is very important that you and I understand that something may look like it's good for food, or something may look like it's pleasant to the eyes, as recorded about Eve in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, or it might look like it's going to make one wise, or it might look like something that is going to help you, but if God says don't touch it, then can I tell you, it is best to obey God and don't touch it. It is best not to go there. You know, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 17, the Bible says this, for it says, ye know how that afterward, when ye would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Now, wait a minute. Here was one that was going to be able to inherit the blessing, but was rejected. Now, listen to it. The Bible says here, for he found no place of repentance. It says, though he sought it carefully with tears. All right? Can I tell you that you and I ought to be very, very, we ought to be very, very careful to keep our hearts warm towards God. We ought to be very, very careful not to let that thing slip. Because I'm telling you what, that's where it begins. You'll start to chill off in the heart inwardly before you start to chill off in the physical state of being outwardly. You'll start to back off in here. You know, church now is not exciting. Church now is not priority. Serving God is not the main thing. Something else takes the place and that becomes the main thing. And many, many times it is the world that tries to circumvent that which is the right type of priority, being God first in your life. So we have to be very careful that the world does not put a hook in us and try to pull us down. Now, can I say, statement number two, there's the wisdom of men. Now, be very, very careful about listening to people that do not use their Bible in counseling. Book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, ye did run well. And then here we see Paul asking the question, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Now, he didn't say what should hinder you. Behind every what, there's always a who. Sometimes it's a down-degrading type of statement. Sometimes, if you would please, it's a life of influence. Sometimes, if you will, it's that that would try to take you from the truth, and you don't even know, but there's just a little insert here, a little insert there, a little negativity here, a little negativity there, and before you know it, you start to doubt whether God is really operating the way he has planned to operate in your life, and he pulls you down just one shingle at a time. You know, and things come in your life that begins to pull you down. There's the wisdom of men. Well, you know, that church really doesn't care about you. Why would anybody ever say such? Well, you know, that assistant pastor, he's high-minded. Why would anybody say such? Well, you know that one assistant pastor I talked to you about? Can I tell you, I just think that he is an ugly duckling. Now, though that may be true, why would anybody say such? can I tell you, listen, you have to be careful about listening to things that is just negative and negative and pulling you down and pulling you down. Hey, how about this tonight? God's good. How about this tonight? God answers prayer. How about this tonight? The King James Bible is still the Word of God. Hey, how about this tonight? Soul winning works. How about this tonight? Let's run more buses. How about this tonight? Let's go soul winning. Hey, how about this tonight? Tithe. Wow, there are still people saying amen. Hey, I'm saying this. Hey, how about this? Raising godly families. How about this? Singing for God. I'm saying, if you can get excited about a ball game, tell me why not? You cannot get excited about Jesus Christ. Why can't you decide to let the devil and his side know whose side that you say, but old preacher, you just don't understand. I'm just tired. I'm weary. Okay, take your Geritol, get back on the firing line, do something for God, but you decide you're not going to roll over and play dead. You decide, let the devil and his crowd know what side you're on. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying there's man's wisdom, and man's wisdom always pulls you down. But when you get to God's wisdom, God will help you. You understand tonight that there's always going to be man's wisdom. Over in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 29, the Bible says, and I know this, that after my departing, Paul is reminding that grievous wolves enter in among you, says not sparing the flock. You know, wolves are sneaky. Do you know that? They're not like coyotes. Coyotes compared to a wolf is dumb. I mean, they just run and run and howl, but wolves are sneaky. Wolves will creep up on their prey. They will crouch down. They will just scoot along until they get close enough for the attack. Then they'll lunge. Sneaky. Now, can I tell you, the devil will put people in your life, in the life of your wife, in the life of your husband, that would try to destroy. I've said this. You've heard me say this here ever since I've been pastor, but I've been saying it long before I became pastor here. If the devil can knock the man out who's supposed to be the priest of the home and get the man discouraged, he'll get the home. But if he can't do it to the man, he'll go after the wife, he'll go after the woman, he'll go after the mother. Why? Because she has the most influence over the children. So if he can't get that which is the husband, the head of the home, the father, then immediately he'll go after that which is the woman, the wife, the mother. If he can't get the wife, the mother, if you will, then he'll go after the oldest sibling. Because if he can knock the oldest sibling out, then all the other siblings become discouraged. Well, he couldn't live for God, so how can I? Right. Well, he played with that sin and he got away with it, so can I? And so he goes after the oldest siblings. If he can't get the oldest sibling, then he'll go after the second one, and then the third one, and then the fourth one, and then the fifth one, and then all the way down to the last one. And the devil goeth about, the Bible says, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is not going to give up. He is after you tonight. He is after your dear wife tonight. He is after your children tonight. Now, what you have to decide is you've got to decide as a believer in Christ and as a man or as a husband or as that which is a father or that which is a woman or that which is a wife or that which is a mother or as a college-age young person single or as a college-age young person that's newly married or a newly married couple that's in their own vocation and working and serving God. You've got to decide tonight that you're not going to let the devil get you. Amen. You say, well, it's not real. Oh, really? If it's not real, how come so many people's getting knocked out? Come on. Right. You know, it is something, and I've used, of course, I've used the Watkins before, but I'll use them again tonight. And so, watch this, if you will. And I like to pick on him. And he's a great guy. Come on up here, bring your body. And so here they are. And give me one of your Emily. Come with mom and daddy. All right, and watch this, if you will. Here we go. And so all of a sudden, where's Hannah? Hannah, come with mom and daddy. Where's Micah? Come up here with mom and daddy. Great family, by the way. Great family. Okay, I said great family. Now watch this, if you will. Come on over here, dead center, that way they can see you. All right, now watch this. And so here's the deal. If the devil can get Brother Watkins knocked out, just get him totally knocked out, he's gone. Then mama has to say, come on, let's go to church. Yeah. But the kids are going to look and say, well, why should I have to? Dad's not going. Mama says, hey, come on, let's have family altar time today. Let's read the Bible together. But then all of a sudden, they see Dad, and he's asleep in the chair. You know, it's going to discourage. All right, let's knock Mom out. Mom, go back. Dad's in. Dad, you're in now. Mom's out. The same thing is true. You know, all of a sudden now, Dad says, hey, come on, let's go to church. And the kids will look past Dad and see Mom and say, well, it's not important to her. Why should it be important to me? And then you wonder how come you're having trouble with your kids. See, the problem normally is not the kids. The problem is the parents of the kids. You want your kids to be sold out, but you're not sold out. You want your kids to serve God, but you're lazy and you don't want to serve God. You see, if you would do right, it would sure make it easier on the kids. Because, see, now they can point to somebody and say, hey, let's be like Dad. Hey, let's be like Mom. But they can't do that if Mom and Dad are not right. Now, I'm talking about basic things. I'm talking about just coming to church. I'm talking about just talking nice around the house. Now, by the way, listen. Let's say Mom and Dad are dropping out. These poor three kids are left by themselves. Well, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. All of a sudden, they hear preacher preach, and preacher gets up and says, hey, you're supposed to be faithful to church. That's what you're supposed to do. And they say, we're just going to listen to the man of God. We're going to listen to the word of God, and that's what we're going to do. And I feel sorry for mom and daddy. But I'm going to try and serve Jesus all by myself. Now, by the way, that's not the way it's supposed to be. But we've got tons of young people in this room tonight that live in such a situation. And can I tell you, thank God for the heroes. Thank God for a young lady or a young man, if you will, that decides that they're going to try and serve Jesus Christ the best they can, guiding them own selves when mom and daddy's not there to guide them. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, listen, I wish it was not that way. Now, wait a minute. Come on over. You're back here. And let's say that all of a sudden this guy decides he wants to be a rebel. I mean, he just wants to be a downright rebel. And he don't want to obey. Get your mean look. Mean look. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. But if Dad is serving God, Mama's serving God, sisters are serving God, at least he cannot, thank God, Mama's back. And but at least he cannot point to those and say, well, wait a minute. I'm using her as an excuse. Come on. Let me show you something more powerful. Let's say the whole family comes to church. Let's say the whole family. You say, but you understand, preacher, I'm discouraged. I'm saying, look, get over your discouragement. Put God first. Hey, keep him first. You step out, do what you're supposed to do. Understand, the devil's after you tonight. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your kids. But for your kids' sake, do right. I'm saying tonight, we understand the Bible says over in James chapter 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask it. It says, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It says to ask of God. God. Well, preacher, I don't know how to raise my children. There is a God. Well, preacher, you don't understand. I've got difficulty inside of my home. I said there is a God. but preacher, I've got a smart aleck kid. Get in your Bible. Let God help you and guide you and nurture you and show you what to do and trust God and obey God and let God work it out because God can. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. It says also wisdom and instruction and understanding. He said, look, don't sell it. Don't get rid of it. Once you have it, keep it, use it. Amen. Don't throw it away, but keep it and use it. I'm saying this tonight. The world would try to get us to discontinue. That which is the wisdom of man, thank you, be seated if you will, would try to get us to discontinue. Here we go, worry. Yes, sir. Would try to get you to discontinue. Worry. The Bible says here, and it says over in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 2 through 3, the Bible says, Then Jezebel sent the messenger on to Elijah. I'm sorry, I've been itching to say something for a long time. But then Jezebel, it says, sent the messenger on to Elijah, saying, so let the gods, it says, do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow this time. The Bible says, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. All of a sudden now, you find out that here this great man of God, the threat came from this Jezebel. And when the threat came from this Jezebel, he rose up and he fled for his life. Now, can I tell you, listen to me tonight, you can worry about things that ought not to be worried about. Here, this great prophet was used of God to put aside that which is 850 prophets that were Baal worshipers or worshipers of a false god. And yet Elijah, that great man of God, became despondent because of a wicked woman that threatened him, and he ran. He ran. Now, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, what's that talking about? That's talking about this. That's talking about literally, you're supposed to not worry over anything. Don't worry over anything. You said, but you understand, the world's coming to an end. The world's always been coming to an end since the beginning. You can't do a thing about it. But you don't understand, preacher. I've got cancer. Well, I understand. If you got cancer, it's a bothersome thing. But if you die and you're saved, you're going to go to heaven, so it should not worry you so much. See, we look at it from the present and only the present. And I'm saying tonight that we understand that we have a God that helps us to be able to overcome those things. The Bible says over in Psalm 34 and verse 7, the Bible says the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivered them. Listen to it. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't walk around biting your fingernails and your toenails and your husband's fingernails and toenails. Then you bring the kids in and start on them. There's better ways to trim the nails. Don't worry about it. Don't be concerned walking down the hallway and you're just pacing back and forth and back and forth. And you say, I just don't understand what's going to happen. Well, you let God be God. And you be the one that rises up and serves the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying, how is it that some people discontinue? They discontinue because of the world. They discontinue because of the wisdom of men, not God. They discontinue because of worry. Let me give you one last thing and I'm done. They discontinue because of willfulness. Willfulness. What do I mean? I mean this. They willfully decide not to serve God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I said this in my heart. I said, God, you want me to go to church? I'm going to church. And when I started going to church, I found that that's exactly what God wanted me to do. I just never missed. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, never miss. You say, oh, you're a preacher. I've been going to church long before I was a preacher. I went to church faithfully as a teenager, and I was in the category of the kids that had a mom and daddy that never went to church. But I decided I was going to do what's right. I decided, because I realized this. I realized that, first off, I need to do what's right because I want to please the Lord. I want to obey the Lord. But then I found this out. By pleasing the Lord and obeying the Lord, God was going to teach me things I never would have knew myself. I needed somebody to get up. And boy, when my preacher, and I loved it, when my preacher would rip us up, oh, I just loved it. I mean, I just loved it. I mean, boy, he'd start preaching and spitting. You know, that's called holy spit. But he'd start preaching, he'd start spitting. Man, he hit the pulpit, he'd run back and forth. And can I tell you, oh, I like that. I liked it when he moved around. I didn't like it when he stayed in his place, if you will. Behind the pulpit. I didn't like that. I liked it when we moved around. I'm saying this. I'm saying that when I got saved, I dove in. Somebody says, well, you understand, Brother Wells, I'm a little bit more timid and shy. No. You got the same God I've got. And by the way, I was timid and shy. I mean, I didn't talk hardly ever. I mean, I was pretty much to myself because I thought that that I was good company. But seriously, I was by myself a lot. But listen to me, I decided to serve God. Amen. Now I'm in a different situation, but so are you. So are you. You see, Brother Crutcher has come help me. And so Brother Crutcher, great, great brother. And so he's got his dear wife here and his daughter and his grandkids. And so he decided that, hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to join Parkside Baptist Church. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to join Parkside Baptist Church. And so he came and he joined driving all the way in from Gun Barrel City. And quite a ways out. And driving all the way in. And came to me one day and he said this. He said, preacher, he said, I need to go soul winning. He said, but I can't. I'm working 6 days a week. He said, but if I can start a soul winning time on my own, there might be some other men out there that would join me. So he started Sunday afternoon soul winning. We have 8 soul winning times a week here, and that's one of them. And he started Sunday afternoon soul winning. Now, wait, watch this, if you will. So when he started that, other men rose up and said, I need a soul winning time too. I'm working 6 days a week, and I need to go out and tell people about God too. So they started coming. I watched this man's faithfulness. He never came to me one time and said, would you hire me? He never came to me one time and said, would you pay me to do what I'm already doing? He didn't do that. Just faithful, loving God. Faithful, staying by the stuff. I found out that he had a Christian school where he pastored in Pennsylvania or so. And I found I knew about education. And so we started to talk, and I started to pick his mind to find out what he knew about education. And found out that, boy, he just would fit right on in there. Now, him and Brother Bulkley, can I tell you, they have a lot of things in common. They're both bald. Brother Bulkley served on, I have always said, Brother Bulkley is probably one of the greatest assistant pastors I've ever met in my life. And nobody could fill his shoes. And by the way, nobody should be forced to fill anybody's shoes. Amen. You don't let God work with people, and you not try and force them in somebody else's shoes. Amen. And but he came, and a lot of similarity. He wears a hat. Brother Boca wears a hat. He hangs his hat up wherever he wants to. And you find Brother Boca hung his hat up where, and you just kind of look at the hat and you say, oh, he's around here somewhere, you know. And great attitude, and I love his disposition. Now watch this. But he jumped on board. He started following the preacher. Now we got some kids in the Christian school. Give me a couple of you right here. In the Christian school. All right, watch this. All right, and so now he's got people following him that's in the Christian school. Now, what if all of a sudden they start saying, oh, I tell you what, I love Brother Crutcher. Oh, I love Brother Crutcher. Oh, I thank God for Brother Crutcher. Boy, Brother Crutcher, he's just a crutch of a fella, you know? And boy, I just love Brother Crutcher. Now, you think I'm going to get jealous over that? Absolutely not. Boy, I thank God that somebody's there to help these boys. I thank God that somebody's here to help to love them. Preacher can't do everything. All right? And so, but he dove them up. Now, we can go on and on and on, and I could pull all these guys up and say, okay, here's the Bible college, and here's Senior Saints and Bible college teacher, and are you? And here's the music, and here's the finances, and here's the youth, and here's the media, and just pile people on. We could get 150 people walking around here tonight. You say, why aren't you going to do that? Because it'd take forever. But you get the idea. See, and then somebody will follow these boys. Somebody's going to look up to him. Somebody's going to look up to him. Somebody is going to say, well, I tell you what, that David fella, that fella wears those sharp ties. That Sean fella, that fella wears those sharp ties. Those fellas that look sharp. You know, man, aren't they something? Wow. You know, and one day when you're 30, one day when you're 35, there's going to be a girl. And that girl is going to say, oh, Bubba. How'd you know his name was Bubba? And all of a sudden, man, it's going to be like, wow. And man, David's heart is going to go ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. And every time he sees the girl, her heart is going to go ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Now watch this, if you will. Somebody's going to follow. You know, we got children that follow. Children that follow. Did you ride a bus? Did you come with him? Who'd you come with? Come here, Penny. Penny's not in the Christian. I just want to show you something. Watch this. Penny's not in the Christian school. She's on staff here as a secretary. Okay? Come here, Bubba. Come here. Stand behind this Penny. Give me a couple of you girls right here. You two. Come here. Penny picks up. When Penny first started picking up girls, she'd pick them up on her own. She came to me and she said, preacher, can we run a bus or a van to pick girls up I've got a burden for and I love? I said, Penny, we don't have any money. We can't run a bus, not on Sunday evenings. We can't do it. We don't have the funds. So she'd borrow cars, she'd borrow vehicles, and go pick the kids up because she's got a burden for precious kids. Yeah, and so she's leading them along. Now we gave her, the Lord's been kind and gave us some finances so we're able to run a night bus, and she picks kids up. Now, wait a minute, watch this. Now, wait a minute, so here's the preacher, he's following the Lord. Come on, guys, come on, Penny, come on, come on. You know, all right, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. But somebody's following different people. See, that's what I'm trying to show you tonight. You're important. Don't let the devil all of a sudden fool. Well, you're just not important. It's all, you know, the preacher. He's the only one important. No, he's not. It's you tonight. Somebody's watching you tonight. Hey, you're somebody in somebody else's life. You go ahead, quit church. What's your kids going to do? You go ahead, throw in the towel. What's those Sunday school kids going to do? You go ahead, you quit. What's those Christian school kids going to do? You go ahead, throw in the towel. What about that bus route? What about those kids on the bus route? I'm saying this tonight. God says you are important. Thank you. Be seated, if you will. Watch this tonight, and I'm done. I'm saying this. There's a willingness to set the things aside. You ought to decide not to set the things aside. The Bible talks about, if you will, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 75. The Bible says, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out, and he wept bitterly. You ever been there? You ever felt like you didn't serve God like you should have? And all of a sudden, you just kind of got alone and said, God, I could do better than this. God touched your heart and you said, I need to turn it up because I know what's right. Let me give you a closing story and I'm done. There was a lady by the name of Helen Boyster. Helen Boyster was a lady that God had called to be a missionary. And Helen surrendered to be a missionary to India. And as she was getting ready to go to India, she went out and she raised money. She raised her $75 that she needed a month to be able to survive on when she turned 18 years of age. And when she turned 18 years of age and she raised that money, it wasn't long after that her mama died. She had 8 siblings. Now, this is back in the early 1900s. And she had several siblings, and those siblings, she was instructed by her daddy, I don't want you to go to India. You need to stay here and help to raise. It was 8 siblings. You need to stay here, and you need to help raise these 8 siblings. She honored her dad. She counseled her support. She counseled her ticket. She stayed until the oldest sibling was old enough to manage raising the other siblings. She went back to her dad, and she said, I found a man that I'm interested in, and I do believe, and she told her daddy this, I do believe God wants me to go to India, but I sure do love Don. Daddy, I really want to marry Don. She forsook her call to India. She married Don Stafford. When she married Don Stafford, they had their first child. The first child that they had was a child that was born crippled. Shortly thereafter, Mr. Stafford died. She married another man. His name was Emery. When she married Emery, they had several children. They had 3. Their first boy died. After that, she had twins. One was a boy and one was a girl. William died on May the 14th, 1929. But Winfield was the girl. The girl was just a tiny little girl. She was able, according to the documentation I have before me, to take that little girl that only weighed 2.5 pounds and take that little girl and put her in a little bitty box. She took that little girl down to the Parr Memorial Baptist Church in Poughkeepsie, Michigan, and took that little bitty girl and put that little bitty girl on the altar. She began to weep, and she said, God, I knew what you wanted me to do years ago. I never did it. If you'd saved my daughter's life, I'm giving you my daughter right now. Would you please save my daughter's life? God reached down from heaven, saved that little girl's life. That little girl married a preacher by the name of Don Green. Don Green pastored the Memorial Baptist Church in Lansing, Michigan, for 60 years. His wife was that little girl. Out of that family, there's been 30-plus descendants that are now serving Jesus Christ full time on the mission fields around the world. You know why? Because here was a mom that said, okay, I know what you want me to do, but I'm gonna do what I wanna do. And she walked away from the will of God. And then God said, okay, you can do what you wanna do. But there was a price that was paid. And as she took that little bitty girl and That little, can you imagine, 2.5 pounds, took that little big girl and laid her on the altar and said, God, I give you my only last child that's living. I give her to you. God, I can't go to India now, but God, if you would take her. And God did. Can I tell you, I hope it doesn't get that far with you. I hope that you don't, as an adult, so I tell you what, I'm just going to live my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. Can I tell you, as I ride down through the Dallas Metroplex area, I see house after house after house after house after house after house after house that is full of lost people. A girl drove over here this morning, and I said, well, how'd you find us? And she said, well, she was telling my wife and I, she said, I found y'all on the internet. I said, that's great. Where'd you come from? Where'd you say, honey? Frisco. She said, I drove all the way from, she said, a lot of Southern Baptist churches over there, but I was looking for something that was independent Baptist like we are. And said, but I found all these other churches over there, but I was looking for something the way that I was raised. And she said, so I drove 45 minutes to an hour or so. It took her to get here. And she said, so I drove all the way over. Now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. Listen. Wouldn't it be great if our Bible college could produce some preachers that would start independent Baptist churches all over the metro? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great, if you will, as we are seeing families being called out of our church to go to the mission field, that we continue to be able to send people to the mission field out of our church? Wouldn't that be great? You say, preacher, but I'm making friends with them. But that's what the Word of God and the will of God is all about. People surrendering to do whatever God wants them to do. You know, wouldn't it be great, listen to me, wouldn't it be great if you and I would be able to have the opportunity to be able to reach in homes and be able to knock those doors? We were out yesterday and we led a teenage girl, my wife and I was out soul winning, we was in a trailer park and we knocked on the door and was able to lead a teenage girl to Christ, and she bowed her heart, she received Christ as Savior, and she said, I said, how you been coming to church? Because it was a follow-up visit in the afternoon, we do follow-ups in the afternoon, and so it was a follow-up visit, or in the morning time, I think you came with her, right, and we switched it around. And so we did it in the morning time, and we went over there, and she said, well, there's a lady over there by the name of Connie. Older lady, she said. Of course, this is a young teenage girl. Everybody's older to a teenage girl. She said, older lady lives right over there, and she's been coming to your church, and I get to ride with her. And I said, that's great. Well, let me ask you. If I was your friend, I wanted to go to heaven. Do you know you're going to go to heaven? And she said, no. I said, what would you tell me to do if you thought you wanted to go to heaven and you didn't know what to do? What would you tell me to do? And she didn't have a clue. And so I said, well, this is my precious wife. And I think sometimes it's better for ladies to deal with ladies. And so I'd like my wife to be able to take just a few minutes and show you from the Bible what the Bible has to say about receiving Christ. And she said, yes. And my wife stood there and showed her how to receive Christ out there on the porch. And as she's doing that, I'm going door knocking in that trailer park. I said, honey, if you need me, just holler. And I'll be in shouting distance. But I want to see how many of these trailer park doors that I can hit. And so I was out there knocking some doors in the trailer park. Now, look, can I tell you, that's a huge trailer park. I told my wife as we were driving out of that trailer park, I said, I wonder how many of these doors will never get knocked. They will never hear the clear presentation of the gospel. When I drive through these apartment complexes, they're massive. Brother Wesso told me that according to some radio stats program that he was listening to, that the metro is going to grow by 53% within the next 20 years. 53%. Can you imagine the opportunity that we have? Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Get a real concern, a real burden in your heart. Don't waste your life. Don't waste it. Those of you that know how to reach out and help somebody, those of you who know how to give the gospel, those of you that you know how to be able to help somebody, get your eyes off of yourself and put your eyes on someone else and sell yourself out to the Lord Jesus Christ and give him everything that you've got. Only one life you've got will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Can I tell you, don't become somebody that discontinues. You continue serving God. Father, help us tonight, please, I pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.